in the midst of our I Am statements of Jesus that he spoke going through the book of John. We are on the I Am statement number 6. This has gone really fast. There's 7 of them. Today we're on number 6, and next week Pastor Tosh will finish up on I Am statement number 7. As we've been cooking along through this, let me just remind you of what we've talked about. Jesus is the bread of life. He's the light of the world. Jesus is the gate. He's the good shepherd. He's the resurrection and the life. And now today, Jesus says, he's got 3 things in one. One statement that says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We find this in John chapter 14. We're going to read it here in just a second. But I want to set the stage just a bit, as I like to do sometimes before I read scripture. I'm like, what is going on? What's happening? Before we see these beautiful words of Jesus that change everything for us. It's hard to explain the sermon today, these words, because there's so much deep meaning here, and it changes everything for us. I hope when you walk away today, you get a little bit better grasp. But it's important to remember the scene here. When we enter into John 14, they just got done with the Last Supper. We all know what that is, right? And when that takes place, that's Thursday night, right? Before Jesus does all of his awesome stuff on Friday, and of course, Easter morning that we so much love, right? Jesus is soon to be arrested, have a trial, be crucified, and then of course, the biggest miracle of all, he conquers death and is raised on Easter morning. We pick up this scripture here. We see him with his disciples after the Last Supper, and Peter's denial has been predicted. Anybody remember all that stuff that's happened? Okay, that's where we're at in the story. I always called this Jesus' last gasp for his disciples, these next few chapters. It's like Jesus is just telling them everything he possibly can. If you have a red letter Bible, when you turn to like 14, 15, 16, 17, well, actually it's through 16, it's just red letters. It's just red letters. It's just Jesus just telling them everything he possibly can. Now, people smarter than me, theologians, have a special name for this. It's called the farewell discourse. I didn't know. I thought last gasp said it all. That's Pastor Jamie's way of saying last gasp. It's Jesus's what theologians call farewell discourse. He has given them everything he's got. He's teaching them his last bit. He's been 3 years with these people. Men and women, I will say. And he is just telling them everything that he can about what his mission is and what's going to happen. This I Am statement today, this week, and next week, so we get 2 within this farewell discourse, last gasp. That's the same setting. Friday's coming. He's about to get arrested. It's Thursday. Friday's coming, and of course, Easter. Jesus spends these last moments explaining as best he can to his disciples the significance of his death and what's going to happen in the next few days and his departure from them, so that when these events do happen, they don't see it through despair, but they see it through hope, because he knows it's not going to make much sense till Sunday, and then they start putting everything together, don't they? So he's encouraging them. He's trying to let them in on what's going on so they can interpret the events through eyes of faith and not through eyes of despair or fear. So let's read Jesus' words, shall we? John 14, I'm going to read 1-4 because his statement happens in verse 6, but Peter's denials just happened. They're all sitting there. They've had dinner. And then Jesus says these words. I wanted to give you a chunk of it so you could kind of see what was going on. So 14:1-14 is what we're going to read today. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am going. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we possibly know the way? Jesus answered, verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip chimes in, said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Still not getting it all, are they? Jesus answered, don't you know me? Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time, 3 years, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? We've heard those words before in this I am statement stuff. The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe all the evidence of the miracles that you've seen over the last 3 years themselves. I added a little bit there. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater than these because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. The words of Jesus, red letter. I am the way, the truth, and the life. This seems like it would be so super easy for me, but I got to be honest with you. I mean, yeah, it's easy. I got my 3 points, the way, the truth, and the life. That's the easy part, right? But to put these things in words for me was honestly, I've worked on this for a couple weeks now, kind of hard. I told Tosh on one of the points, I was like, I don't know how to explain this. She's like, what? But it's just so deep, and it's hard to put stuff into words. So I really hope today I can articulate to you what these 3 things mean for you. Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. So let's start with the way, shall we? We see Jesus answering Thomas's question, right? Thomas is like, hey, if I don't know where you're going, how on earth am I supposed to know the way? I mean, I think this is a logical question coming from him, honestly. If I say I'm going to meet you somewhere, we're going to go on a road trip someplace, we need to know where the end game is, right? So then we know that point so we can go to that place. He's doing something logical here, and it totally makes sense. Don't we want to drop a pin on Google Maps and be like, hey, meet me here? However, Jesus doesn't say anything other than, I'm the way. Me. I'm it. See, Thomas and the other disciples, I'm sure, were thinking, as I would, of geography. Where exactly are you headed? But Jesus wasn't talking about a physical place here on earth, was he? Again, Jesus was on a spiritual realm, speaking spiritually. And it's hard to grasp that sometimes with our human brains, isn't it? And you see the disciples struggling with this, even though Jesus was trying to be as crystal clear as he could be. The way to something, as the disciples understood it, was a route or a path to a specific location with directions. Jesus' definition of the way was what he was providing in his death and resurrection, and that was the path or route to God and a relationship to God. This point sounds very similar to me as I was looking and pondering and praying over this to the gate. Anybody remember Pastor Tosh's sermon on the gate? You got to pass through Jesus to get in. Jesus being the shepherd at the gate. I'm the gate. You got to go through me. It's the same thing here. The way to God is through Jesus. Only through Jesus do we have a relationship with God, and then entry into the relationship with God the Father through Jesus. Just like the shepherd at the gate. And what Jesus is saying is, I'm the way. I'm the way to God. Through me, everyone, which I love that, everyone who believes in me has a relationship with God. Paul got this because he wrote about it in Acts. In Acts 4, he said, "Salvation is found in no one else, though there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." We are saved only through one person, Jesus. That's the way to God the Father. Jesus was being as direct as he possibly could be. The only way is through me. The exclusive nature of the only path to salvation is expressed in his words, saying, "I am the way," period. I'm the way. The truth. This point was the one I struggled articulating with the most, the truth. And it turned out to be more deep than what I thought. So I looked up the word, with the Greek word that was used for truth in this passage. I'm going to butcher it, but it's aletheia, something like that, okay? A-L-E-T-H-I-A. That word means unconcealed, open, not secret, not hidden. So if we think about that definition of truth, I draw a conclusion that I hadn't really thought about. Jesus being the truth means nothing about him is hidden. Here he is. He's not a secret. He's open to who he is. He's going to do what he did. He's available. He's out there, ready for people to find him, to be the way. But also, in my head, truth means the opposite of a lie. Did anybody think that? Like, immediately, okay, if it's not truth, then it's obviously the opposite of that is a lie, right? So I think of Jesus being the total polar opposite of untruth. Jesus is truth. Then he is the opposite of someone who's dishonest. He's opposite of someone who deceives you and leads you astray. If Jesus is the truth, then he's someone I can trust and I can have faith in because he's true to me and he has my best interest at heart. I can trust him. He won't hurt me. Someone who's true won't hurt you. Someone who's true is someone who they are who they say they are. They have integrity. They don't waver. They're steady. That's what I think about when I think of truth in a person. Because Jesus being that person, what did that mean that he is the truth? Jesus is all those things, isn't he? So Jesus being truth means he's more than not a lie. It means he's steady, honest, open, someone we can trust in, someone we can have faith in. He's not hidden. He has our best interest at heart. And knowing truth, knowing the truth, Jesus, we know John writes about that earlier. John says that Jesus wrote these words. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Through that truth of who Jesus is, the truth, we have freedom. Holy cow, yay, hallelujah, amen, right? Truth, Jesus is the truth, and we have freedom through that truth. I think about the world today and how much deception is out there. And we know where lies and deception come from, right? The enemy, Satan himself, evil in this world. If you want to know what's really going on, go to the truth. Jesus is that truth. Whatever he said is truth. That's something you can trust and have faith in. And someone that you can have trust and have faith in. And then Jesus says the life. We might have heard about this last week, didn't we? Didn't we? She's listening. She's listening. He said, he's the resurrection and the life last week. And now he's the way, the truth, and the life. He doubles down on life. He is trying. And I get that some of this is redundant. But you can see Jesus amping up his information and what he's saying here to his disciples. Because it's almost over. His mission is almost complete. And he's trying to get them to understand. He's been telling them about his death, right? And what's going to happen? They're not getting it. And now he's claiming through that he's going to be the source of all life. I also spoke about in the Good Shepherd message that Jesus has authority over life and death, his death and his resurrection. He has power over life. He is life, the path to heaven, the place where true eternal life can be found and is. This did sound a little bit redundant, but the disciples weren't getting it. They were dense, weren't they? They're just, those guys, those ladies, they didn't get it. We're also those people. Just so you know, let's not throw them under the bus. That's why it's important for us to read the scripture, and we read it a million times too. Jesus is the life. So we finally get it. This is a reminder for us, again, what we get through Jesus being the life. And that's life, not just afterlife, but it's life now. When you have a relationship with Jesus, life is now, a different life through him. And then we have the resurrection when we're done with this life. We've got eternal life afterwards. True life, and I'll say true living, is found in Jesus. He is the life. He is the living. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the path to God. He's the open, honest, steady, steadfast Savior that we can trust and put our faith in, who won't lead us astray. And he's the way to life. He is life through him, here and after. We have life through Jesus. It's very simple, but so deep. Do you get how it changed everything? We didn't have this before Jesus did what he did. Came here, taught us, now he's going to die and be resurrected. And we get all this because of that. And I love, as we're going through these I am statements, Tasha and I were talking about this morning on the way here, is like they're just building up. They're just building and building and building. Next week's the vine. Oh, I wish I would have had that week, but I don't. I gave it to Pastor Tosh. Talk about the vine. Oh, I can't wait. It's the last one. And I'm sure it's going to just connect vine, no pun intended, connect, get it, vine. Everything together, all of them. I want to point out the words also that Jesus says after in this verse. Verse 6. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. The rest of that verse says, no one comes to the Father except through me. And then we read other stuff. I'm in the Father. The Father is in me. We are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Did you hear all that verbiage? That's why I wanted to read all of that. Powerful statements that he is making here, saying, yeah, I'm the Messiah. You've been waiting for me. Here I am. I'm the Son of God. I'm from the Father. He lives in me. I do what he wants me to do. We talk on a regular. Powerful statements. And power, these, all these I am statements and what Jesus says around these things are powerful for us. Because through these statements and who Jesus is and him being the Messiah, obviously, we have a different, complete, unashamed relationship with God through him. You know, we just spent the weekend, Friday night and Saturday, celebrating, as I said, we were out of town, celebrating Tasha's grandmother's life and her passing. And what I found most cool about the whole entire thing is we all have hope. We have a hope, and we know Doris had a relationship with Jesus. So we know where she is right now. This life is done. And eternal life is hers now. Reunited with all of her peeps that went before her, her parents, husband of 60 plus years, two sons. That's awesome, right? That is life changing. Jesus was telling his disciples this stuff so they would have hope when all this went down over the weekend. Do you understand that through this, the way, the truth, and the life, we have that hope for afterwards? If we didn't have the way, the truth, and the life, then what's done here is just done. But we have hope. And that's what we got to celebrate over the weekend. A hope that after this, we have eternal life through Jesus, and that eternal life is going to blow our minds. We have no idea what the heavenly realm is. But we know through Jesus, we have that opportunity. The same hope that Jesus was giving his disciples. What did he say at the beginning? Don't despair. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. The same hope he has given his disciples, we have that hope now. And we know the end of the story. We know everything that happens. My prayer today is that you have a relationship with Jesus so you can enjoy the benefits of life through him, both now and eternally. And I thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Because through his life, his death, his resurrection, Jesus, you created a true way for us to completely enjoy the benefits of an eternal life. Are you not excited about that? Right. That's the hope we have today with this message. So I hope you know Jesus today as the way, as the truth, and as the life in your life.